Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
President Villa absent. Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Here.
And President Varney?
Here. Please join me in saluting the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Are there any comments for agenda review?
Yes, we have the one item 9C, which is the discussion and adoption of the media relations policy. I'm asking that item be pulled and continued until after I meet with the union representative. She was under the belief that this was required to meet and confer under the Myers-Miller's Act. Anytime you adopt a policy that will change the hours, wages, conditions, and terms of employment, you're required to meet and confer with them. I don't believe this does. It's actually, it has to substantially change their working conditions. And I don't believe it does, but I also believe in, you know, creating a good relationship with your employees, the board, the staff, the management. So, and there's no emergency to do this policy. It came about because we do need one. But so I'll be meeting. We've already set it up for next week, and I'll find out what their issues are, if there are any, and whether that's acceptable, you know, to the district. And then we'll bring it back for hearing probably at the next meeting, or if not, the first one in June.
Okay. Do we need a motion to do that, or?
It's just pulled. It's just pulled. We don't need a motion for it. We'll okay. just, the minutes right. will reflect that it was pulled.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Report on the closed session report from special meetings of May 3rd, May 6th, and May 9th.
Yes, good evening. On May 3rd and May 6th, the board met in closed session to discuss the appointment of a general manager. At both of those meetings, no action was taken regarding reporting under the Brown Act. Prior to tonight's meeting, the board met in closed session regarding that same topic and also the appointment of a new district council and also real property negotiations regarding the divestiture of the fire district, and the final item was the litigation with the Santa Maria issues. As to all those actions, no action was taken that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, then we will move to public comment for matters not on the agenda. This period provides opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not on the agenda, and each speaker is limited to 3 minutes. I have one speaker slip here, Mr. Montes.
Good evening, board. Steve Montes, Oceano. I sent an email to the board bringing to your attention, let me start my timer here, the distractions that take place many times during these meetings, and I was hoping to have elicited more of a response from you than I received. And I mentioned that to you, that I wasn't going to let this go either. You know, when I go to Grover Beach meetings, Mayor Bright won't put up with distractions. There's a police officer in the audience to make sure directives from the mayor are enforced. The same with Mayor Karen Russom of AG. Man, she's on it. She'll nip protesters in the bud if they're interfering with the meeting. And now we come to Oceano. And if you think I'm questioning this board's leadership, you are correct. Let me explain myself further. You see, if you're a personal and close friend with President Varney like April Dury is, apparently you have the freedom to bring in your personal laptop, plug it in, be destructive. You know, no big thing. I've seen this happen over and over and over again in a meeting. And you know what? Mr. Varney won't say a thing about it. Not a peep. Well, if Ms. Dury can do it, I want to do it too. See, I brought my iPhone and I brought my charger, and I'm not going to wait for April. I'll just plug it in and charge my phone at the expense of the Oceano residents, by the way. Now, if Mr. Varney calls me on this, I'll remind you, if Ms. Dury gets to do it, well, so do I. I mean, after all, I don't think our president's going to allow one person to get away with it and not someone else. That would be favoritism, right? And I'm not so sure that would look good on the character of our president to show favoritism. As a matter of fact, when this meeting is over, I'm going to contact as many people as I know in Oceano, and I'm going to let them know, come on down, bring your laptops, bring your smartphones. There's an outlet right there I can plug into. And I'm glad this meeting is being streamed and recorded. I want to bring this situation to as many people as I can. And by the way, if anyone's disruptive, don't worry about it. Ms. Dury gets to be so I guess we can as well. So, board members, thank you so very much for allowing me to share my concerns. I hope the distraction will stop from here on out. Now, if you don't mind, I could use a charge of my phone. And if I become disruptive, well, I'm not going to worry about it. If others can get away with this, I guess I can too. The ball's in your court now, President Varney.
Are there any other public comments on matters not on the agenda? Yes?
Mi nombre es Aurelio. Soy Aurelio Hernández. Soy miembro de Oceano en la Holden, 2230 Holden.
My name is Aurelio Hernandez, and I live here in Oceano, Holden Street.
Can you pull the microphone closer?
Bring it down so we can hear. Here
yeah.
You go.
Yo vengo porque prometieron hacernos la calle de la Holden y la Verne. Nos hundamos cuando llueve. Y no mandaron esta carta, yo le dije un cheque allá en San Luis, pero me lo regresaron que iban a hacer estas calles. Y hasta la fecha no han hecho nada.
Okay, I'm here because residents from Holden and Laverne Avenues got together and sent a letter long ago to San Luis Obispo because we get very flooded during storms. And till this day, nothing has been done. This has been decades. I would like for your board to do me the favor of making this known to the county, because when it rains, the water slides down into our homes. We get flooded.
I've seen it.
I don't understand what the difference is from one side to the other side, because we pay our taxes and water just the same as everybody else does, but our side gets flooded and we don't get attention. I have the original letter that's over almost 20 years old.
Boy.
Thank you.
Gracias, señor.
Could Tony give him some information?
Well, I think he just needs to send it. We need to send it to the supervisor's
office.
I
can talk with you after, if we can give me the contact. We can
contact on our own supervisor with Public Works.
Are there any more public comments for matters not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and move on to special presentations and reports. The commander, Commander Doughty's not here this evening, so it doesn't look like we're going to have a report from the sheriff. I see the Five Cities Fire Authority is here. Please step forward. Yeah, you can wait a sec till they... Okay, thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Scott Howard. I'd like to officially introduce myself to you. I'm the newly appointed fire chief in for Five Cities Fire. It's my second week on the job. So I'm happy to be here tonight. I'm honored to serve. Just a few updates from the fire authority. One, we did have a fire on Sunday afternoon, a structure fire in a mobile home at 2530 Cienega. The fire was extinguished by 4 p.m. with one patient sustaining burn injuries to the hands. They were transported to a local hospital where they were treated and released, and two residents were temporarily displaced and assisted by the Red Cross. Some other business notes. The authority with our board continued to work with Oceano on the extension for fire service. That contract was set to expire June 30th. And then additionally, we're also continuing to work with the county on a longer-term agreement to continue to provide fire services. So we're hopeful and optimistic. Those talks seem to be moving forward and being productive. And we're anticipating a report on that at the June 4th Fire Board meeting. Additionally, weed abatement is in full swing. So the first round of inspections was completed. We anticipate the second round to begin later this month. The first list of properties within our noticing requirements will go to the fire board on June 4th, and then there'll be a second hearing, a special meeting that will be scheduled again in June. That'll be basically the appeal hearing for that final list to be approved by the board, and then the contractor would then be notified to begin abatement for anybody that's out of compliance. And obviously non-compliance that results in a contractor's abatement is the cost of the abatement in addition to an 18.5% administration fee, which goes on the property tax assessments. And then lastly, one of the things just to keep you informed of, it'll be applied throughout the fire board's jurisdiction, but Senate Bill 1205 has some mandated inspections for properties, and those include state licensed facilities as well as multifamily dwellings. And so we're trying to make sure we can capture all of those properties, hopefully by July, and we can meet those state mandates by the end of the year. Other than that, I'll open it up to you for any questions.
Thank you.
I look to directors for questions.
What inspections on multifamily properties? What do you?
Anything of three units or more. So it's just a fire safety inspection. Make sure that they meet the fire code.
And when do you go again and inspect the vacant lots, the mowing?
So we anticipate beginning those second inspections on May 25th.
Okay. I'm sorry, maybe I missed it, but how many abatement letters were sent out?
I don't have the total number of letters that were sent out. I apologize okay. for that.
Okay. Just curious.
So did you, so I received notices on property that had no weeds at all. So I want to make sure that the next inspection that we're aware, because everything is mowed down to nothing, and most of them were. So I'm not sure what's going on. And there was one property that needed it, and it's been done today and yesterday. So by May 25th, if we have more rain and something grows, what's the?
Yeah, so the requirements are that you have to maintain the weeds throughout the fire season.
Right,
sometimes that's some misinformation that people don't understand. They think it's if they cut once.
No, all these properties are maintained year-round. Okay. There was just like, turned into more like a beautification thing, like if you have a few little weeds along your fence line or something, which are mowed all the time.
That's not the intent. It's to
I know.
Reduce the hazard.
I know, but maybe the inspector can be.
Yeah, so they will be doing those second rounds of inspection. It's pretty common that when we complete that first inspection, it's early in the year, especially like this, where we have a lot of late rains. And so with late rain seasons, we typically have a lot more letters to go out than normal.
Yeah.
And then the hope is by the time we get to that second round of inspections, that people have, it kind of falls into their normal window of doing their reading.
Right,
and,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you have any long-term people that don't maintain their weeds year after year?
I can't speak specifically to the fire authority down here, but in my 33 years of experience in the fire service, I spent 27 years in Atascadero and 6 years in Paso. And sometimes you do get kind of habitual people that don't abate their weeds, and the contractor has to abate those, and they have to pay the fee.
Yeah.
For the most part, by the time we get to that level where we have to send out a contractor, people are in compliance. Mm-hmm. Probably the bigger issue is people that live out of the area. And so sometimes there's some noticing challenges. We'll get the letters get returned, and we have to try to track those individuals down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And our goal is to work with people. It's, you know, the main emphasis is to reduce the fire hazard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to penalize people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed that there's a couple of large lots on Highway 1 down here, the Grun 4 property, which is right across from the coffee shop, and then on 17th and Cienega, a big lot there. And again, given all the rain, the weeds are up like 6-7 feet and pretty much solid, right? I'm assuming they got tagged first round. And so,
more
than likely. And so they'll get hit again by the 25th. And, okay.
And then ultimately, you know, because of the notice and requirements, that contractor award won't be issued until the second special meeting in June. So, I mean, there's a chance if people don't abate them, it could be, you know, middle to end of June before it actually gets cut by the contractor.
That's okay. Yeah.
All right. Are there any questions from the public for the chief?
You mentioned something about taxes, a fee that,
correct.
Can you, I didn't get all that, I misunderstood.
So if the homeowner is not compensated,
that's just for abatement?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's all fee. Okay.
So if a contractor does have to abate a property, then the assessment goes on.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hallett.
I just want to say, and for the first time since the depot's been there, it got a notice to mow the poppies. So I can't do that. So I think we constantly weed, you know, we're working on it all the time, but we got a notice to mow the grounds, and, you know, it's $1,000 a flower, so.
You're going down.
Yeah.
And certainly reach out to us if you have
questions. I've called a couple times but never got a return call.
Okay. And our battalion chief, Craig Angelo, is who's assigned to the weed abatement program this year. So you can contact Tricia at the fire department. We'll get the message to him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hallett. Congratulations on your new job. next up is staff reports. Is our utility system manager, Mr. Maricino.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, utility systems manager. So Lopez is currently at 100.1% full, which is 49,531 acre feet. We had zero sewer system overflows for the month of April, and we got delivered just over 43 acre feet surface water, and we did not pump any water in April. We're continuing to do weekly and monthly samples, 7 work orders, 8 USAs, 6 customer service calls, 0 after hours call outs. We did finish all our re-reads for meter reads, and the stormwater recharge project at the school, we went over there and did our first preventive maintenance to ensure how it was operating with the engineer of that project that was overseeing it, so he could take pictures, everything. Everything seemed to be working well. We did have to modify our backer. We extended it. Built a tube, so because the depth was it's quite deep, but everything went well. We vacuumed it out, very little sediment down there, and actually no real visible trash. We will continue to maintain that probably after the rainy season from here on out, and everything seems to be going well. We did complete our first route of our service line inventory. We have 2 more routes to do now. First of the month equipment runs, And as for the Tank 2 project, all the welding aspect of that tank, the stairs are installed, everything, all the welding's complete. And currently, they are putting the scaffolding up right now so they can put a containment around it so they could start prepping for paint inside and out. And and we are starting our sewer system cleaning now. So we'll be working on cleaning the entire sewer system. Any questions?
So I assume Lopez is still spilling?
Yes, it's at 100.1. When I looked on the computer today, yeah. It actually didn't have any cubic feet per second spilling. But just based off the 100.1, I would assume it's still spilling. Yeah. Maybe it's not spilling enough to register.
Yeah, okay.
But yes, it is.
Thanks.
I have a comment. At the last sanitation district meeting, yes. the staff notified us of a piece of plywood that got in our sewer trunk line on Highway 1 from the Caltrans work, and that they said you were the one that got a hold of them as soon as you were hurt. You heard about it first, and you got a hold of them immediately and got them on the job, so I want to thank you for yes. responding to that.
Cal Portland was, they were doing the project, and as for the manholes, they did all the concrete rings and the raising. I got a phone call of an event of them losing a 2-foot piece of plywood. Kind of odd, you know, since our sewer mains are no bigger than 12 inches here throughout Oceana. We got anywhere from 6 to 12. So the location they sent us out to initially was just a 6-inch main. They called me back about 15 minutes later as we're inspecting our sewer. We're at the wrong location they gave us. We went down there. And notice it is I believe a 28-inch trunk main. Yeah. So what they told me they did, and this occurred 2 days prior to them notifying me, they said they wouldn't check the next manhole and they couldn't see it. And I was a little stumped. Called Mike Jones from the Sanitation District right away and said, hey, you got an issue. 24-inch piece of plywood's in your trunk main. He said he hadn't seen it yet. It's been over 2 days. He thanked me for that, and he did, I believe, an emergency camera and extracted the 2-foot piece of plywood that was stuck in a trunk main.
Which and they had to go to a line way up and jet it.
Oh, absolutely.
Try to find to get it out. So it was
could
a
have been
thing.
A
could have been a catastrophe if
catastrophic
we hadn't
got it event,
out of there. Yeah.
Depending on the location and surface water. Yes.
Wow. Good job.
Thank you.
We work closely together. Yeah. You know, yeah. Even with the other cities. Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maricino. And thank you to your staff.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Moving to Board of Directors and outside committee reports, I'll start with Vice President Joyce Sunnison.
Okay, OPARC met on the May 7th, and last month, during April, the bike rodeo had to be postponed due to all the rain, but the bike rodeo was up and running this week, and they had several events throughout the week, and it will be completed. Their conclusion will be on Saturday with a bike and hot dog chips music kind of celebration at the Oceano Elementary School. OPARC voted on the
the 501c3 ecologistics.
Ecologistics, and it passed unanimously. So we would like to move forward with that, and that's before the board tonight.
So could you say that again? I couldn't quite hear.
Okay, the ecologistics, which is uh-huh. in the packet on the agenda for the board tonight, came before the OPARC board, and okay. it passed unanimously. Everybody okay. finished up all their research and comments and thoughts about it, and they came to the conclusion that, yes, it would just be too costly to ask the staff here to do that. So we're going to go with Pavel's recommendation of using ecologistics. The Boys and Girls Club has rescheduled their Day of the Child for June, and O'Park will be present there. And then we had, we have talked with looking at students to help who are, what is that called, where they do the...
Their community service.
Their community service. High school students who need to do community service are going to help with a logo for the O'Park, to develop a logo. And that's pretty much it.
Okay. Thank you. Director Austin?
Okay. We're on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation meeting last week. We approved our budget, and the repairs on the secondary clarifier, the demolition work is almost complete. The repairs haven't started yet. They're still demolishing the inside that needs to be replaced. And the team is currently reviewing and negotiating the change orders for the final repair. And everything is running very good. There was no violations of the district's pollutant discharge permits. All process values were within permit limitations. That's about, you know.
I had a question or comment on the sanitation district. The repairs, I really don't have much of a sense of, and this is it's no reflection on your reporting, Director Austin, at all. It's a complex process that's going on, and I would like us as a member agency to have a better sense of exactly kind of the status report of the repair, you know, the estimated cost, what kind of costs are going to be passed on to us. I went to the website, and there isn't anything on the redundancy project after, I think, 2017 or 2018. So there's no really information for the public.
And that is going on through closed session right now, and I believe in the next meeting or so it'll be made what's going on with the costs and everything. But right now we're not discussing that.
Okay, so.
But it's been said from the beginning that we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be having to pay out of that.
Okay.
Out of the sanitation district.
So, looking at the June meeting to have a.
I'm not sure, but we'll find out. But yeah, it's maybe in June. It's just something that's being worked on right now. That's.
Okay, so you. Even if you had the information, you couldn't really report
nope.
it to us because
no,
it's
I'm
in
sorry.
Closed session.
It's closed okay. session.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for keeping us posted. Director Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Okay. And I don't have anything to report. So we will now take public comment on special presentations and reports. Okay. Seeing no public comment. We'll close it and move on to the consent agenda. And we will open it for public comment for items on the consent agenda. Is there any public comment? Seeing none. We'll close public comment on the consent agenda items, and I look for a motion to approve.
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Cassiola?
Vice President Joyce Sonneson?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And President Burney?
Yes. Okay, moving on to business items, we have two. The first one is review and discussion of OCSD role in future regional water management planning. And there's a handout for this, and the OCSD has adopted a advocacy platform around water management. It was done in part around the Central Coast Blue project, and we know what the status of that project is at this point. And significant part of that referenced the district's responsibility to be open, transparent, informative for the residents of Oceano as to what are the issues that are involved, to provide facts to the citizens, to have an open mind and look at various opinions or sets of facts as people present them. And so it's in the spirit of that that I am providing a brief report tonight on kind of the status of wastewater and wastewater recycling currently. And then we'll next month get into other topics in terms of groundwater management, water wheeling, water sales, all of which, you know, impact us as a community services district, and one that works with wastewater and one that has a surplus water that could possibly be made available for sale to our neighbors if and when they desire that. So just by way of background, and this is probably more for the folks that are watching at home, there is a plan to have regional water management across the South County. There's a regional water management group that I am trying to get in touch with. We are a major wastewater treatment facility for the entire South County. And the South County Sanitation District is controlled and financed by the political, you know, elected officials in the cities of Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and the board of directors of the OCSD, and obviously supported by the ratepayers and customers that utilize the sewage treatment plant. The sanitation district treats all the sewage from the three communities. It treats wastewater that's trucked in from other areas, and it conveys all of the treated wastewater from Pismo Beach into its ocean outfall pipeline. So in essence, all the South County sewage comes through Oceano. The redundancy project, a $30 million project, started in 2021, and in 2023, the new concrete clarifier tank developed a major crack in the bottom, and which is what Director Austin was talking about this evening, and the repairs to it, and it is a major repair issue. The plant itself is over 50 years old, and the problem with the clarifier that cracked was that it could not withstand the pressure of groundwater. All of that groundwater pushing up against it cracked the base. And so in an older system like the original plant is, those same groundwater pressures are in play with the other big tanks that are out there. And so there, you know, there could be problems there as well down the line, and something that, you know, we might, you know, be thinking about in terms of responding to those. And I'm sure that the staff at the sanitation district is well aware of that. A big thing that happened when the redundancy project was proposed and had to be approved by the Coastal Commission is that and the Coastal Commission was leaning in the direction of not approving the redundancy project and telling the sanitation district that they needed to relocate and build elsewhere because of sea level rise, which would ultimately impair the capacity of the plant to operate. In lieu of that, they did not press for it at that time, but as a condition of permitting the redundancy project, they required that the South County Sanitation District find a new treatment site, relocate, and be operational by 2047. That's 23 years away. Right now, the communities of Oceano, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach will pay for this project at a, you know, roughly estimated cost of at least $250,000 in today's money. Probably it'll be more than that over the time period. And of course, it's hoped that there'll be major federal and state grants to defray a significant portion of these costs. But so, you know, the three member agencies of the sanitation district certainly have an important interest in this project, its financing of it, and we are at a point for the entire South County where we're looking at major water management issues. So the jobs of identifying land for the new project, which will definitely include treated water recycling, designing, engineering, environmental review, permitting, financing, and finally construction, is going to be a very long project and take quite a bit of time. And it's my own thought is that the sooner our South County communities come together to begin talking about this, develop, you know, formalized working groups to start, you know, reviewing the data, reviewing all of the rich research that's available, the better off we'll be in terms of being poised for grants and assistance in this entire process of identifying land, acquiring land, designing, engineering, all of that. The other main topic I just wanted to touch on tonight is a wastewater recycling. And any new treatment plant is going to be required to recycle wastewater, which means we have to go to three stages of treatment to basically make it potable or close to potable. The value that the water can be reused for the same purposes and it's not going to be wasted, and thus it's really increasing available water supplies that have been previously discharged to the ocean. This was in essence what the Central Coast Blue Project was planning to do on a much smaller scale, and the new treatment plant will be doing this on a really large scale. And I hope that the goal would be to do three-stage treatment on all of the wastewater that comes through the new sewage plant. And currently, the existing treatment plant discharges about 2,500 acre feet of water a year into the ocean. That water at a general cost of an acre foot of water today at around $2,000, that's $5 million worth of water that goes into the ocean every year. That 2,500 acre feet, if recycled, would do a lot to address water shortages and water concerns in our county. So I bring this to the board tonight and to, you know, in the spirit of just informing and educating ourselves and the public as to some of the issues that we are going to be facing over the next few years, and to provide an opportunity to directors to share their points of view or, you know, their comments or to raise questions on the general topic. So I would just open it up to directors for any comments or expressions they have. I see both. Director Rossman, please.
Well, okay, I just, in reading all this, you discussed OCSD role in future regional water management planning. So I just don't quite, what are you talking about coming up with new agreements to start with other agencies? Because right now we already have, you know, memorandum of understandings with the IWMI, Integrated Water Resource Management, regional water management. We're already part of that. So that's working on the water. And then we're part of RAC. And then you attached a grant. Is this something that you think who would apply for the grant, and how would you do that? So because you'd have to have all these agencies get together, the ones that we're already part of?
That's a great question. And the fact is that there are many planning grants out there that are possibilities that a South County Regional Water Management group could apply for.
You're talking about, so how would you go about, you need to go approach all these agencies and try to form, I think we already have it. Mm-hmm. And
I'm hoping there are a lot of agencies.
Who sits on the RAC? I think Beverly and Aline, right?
I'm the alternate, but Aline is Aline. On the RAC.
And then who does, you did the one here, the integrated? Well, so we're already part of
those. So there's a regional water management group. Yes, well, and I think that this is something that you can take back to these groups and raise the same question, that there are, you know, there's $2.1 billion in an upcoming round of grants.
And I think there's always.
And so, you know, what would it look like? Maybe the question is, what would it look like for us to get a collaborative group together? And what agency would want to take the lead on it with others in cooperation, mm-hmm, to apply for a grant for money to begin the regional planning process that we all need to be involved in?
Right.
And so okay. I think, well, that's, I mean, this is exactly, right, I think, the kind of,
well,
thing
I want to make sure, like,
about
the public knows that we do have planning, like we, Oceano's planned water all these years, and then we have our own, we do have a water shortage contingency plan in place, mm-hmm, and we just did the groundwater recharge, I see what you're saying, that, you know, for the future along, but for right now, I don't know how to implement what you want to do, but you just said, mm-hmm, get it. So I guess you need to go to each one of these agencies, mm-hmm, and Well, I think when I know that everybody's on top of the grants. When a grant comes up, I think we've always applied for them, right?
A lot of grants have gone by with that we haven't applied for. Well, and you know, we're in the process of making our final selections around a general manager, and hopefully this would be something that the general manager would be.
This is something that we really need to have a general manager to talk about.
Right, and that's where I think again the reaching out to the different agencies and the agency staffs. Getting together and, coming up with some ideas that they can present back to us.
Gotcha.
But
and I wanted to cover, too, on the sanitation district, on the Coastal Commission permit.
Uh-huh.
I want to kind of expand on all that.
Yeah.
Because it's, on 2017 was when the redundancy, backup infrastructure and other improvements, the floodproofing, and was applied for the permit, and they approved the coastal development permit with the conditions of the South County Sanitation's wastewater treatment plant improvements. The commission modified the recommendation to allow the 30-year term, which goes in from 2017 goes into the 47.
Yeah.
So that's the 30 years, and at 10-year intervals, they would do another. We would give a 10-year term for the coastal development permit, so every 10 years it would be reviewed again. So then this is what's happened now with the redundancy. It said the project identified is authorized for 30 years from the date of approval, so through May 10th, 2047. That would be the expiration date of the coastal development permit. And then by acceptance of this permit, the permittee acknowledges and agrees the project authorized pursuant to this development permit is interim and temporary and is permitted for the time frame identified in order to provide a reasonable period of time for the permittee to plan, develop, consider, and implement a long-term solution to address flooding and related coastal hazard threats to the sanitation district and addressing the coastal resource impacts. And the long-term solution must include evaluation of the eventual relocation of the plant to an area that is safe from these and other coastal hazards and to an area that does not require protective devices or substantial alterations of rivers or streams. So in 2027 will be the first 10 years, and no event later than May 10th, the permittee shall request a determination from the director of whether significant and diligent progress has been made on meeting the terms and the conditions of the coastal development permit. And I have the whole thing is, these are all the terms and conditions. The whole this is just the synopsis. And so if the executive director is satisfied with the progress made towards such compliance at these intervals, then the executive director shall notify the permittee of this determination and the authorization will continue. The executive director reasonably concludes that the permittee, which is the sanitation district, is not making significant and diligent progress with respect to the terms and the conditions of this permit. Then the executive director shall notify the permittee of this determination and the matter will be brought to the commission for consideration and potential action. So it says the permittee also acknowledges and agrees that it shall remove the approved development in its entirety and restore the affected areas to their pre-development condition or better with 1 year at the expiration date of this coastal development permit or submit a complete, including all necessary information identified by commission staff as required for filing purposes, a coastal development permit amendment request to the commission prior to the expiration date, i.e. before May 10th, 2047, to extend the expiration date of the coastal development permit as necessary to retain the approved development in its current location as part of that request. Any coastal development permit amendment that includes retention of the approved development in its current location may not be approved without a showing of significant and diligent action taken in furtherance of the proposals recommended in the approved coastal hazards response plan, Special Condition 6, and not just reliance on an expectation of long-term operation. So that it's just not completely 100% that the plant has to be scraped completely gone by 2047. They want it moved, and you're supposed to be working on it every 10-year intervals. So it may be gone before 2047. We don't know, but it's not fair to say it has to be completely gone because that's not what the findings were. They said you have to prove that, show. So every 10 years they'll review it, and they'll be reviewing it in 2027. And so during that time, the plant still needs to be making the plans. So that deadline cutoff is not really official. You know what I mean?
Well,
okay. So I mean, you could say it's supposed to be, they gave that date as the permit to expire. However, if the plant shows due diligence in moving forward with the relocation project, then they will extend it as necessary. So that's, I just wanted to let people know so people didn't get worried to be gone.
Or through studies, they can show that they can meet the hazardous conditions.
And, you know, they can
that
meet.
That they had the issues with. And that's why they gave it only a 30-year window.
30-year term.
Because it was a way to allow
subject
it to
verification of progress towards meeting the terms, 10-year intervals. That's where it's at.
And the term is to relocate the plant.
However, but it doesn't. But what's been going out, being said is that the plant has to be gone. There's a deadline. That's not quite true, is what I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, it said that the repairs that were being done, their redundancy infrastructure was necessary in the near term and critical because of the, well, obviously for obvious reasons. But these improvements are needed to ensure the functioning facility and, you know, protect the human health and environment and sewage spills. And so they're doing the flood proofing now. So that's going to ensure the critical components are above the 100-year flood elevation. So, I mean, you can say the plant is, they're saying, you know, they should have a new plans to move by 2047, but it's not a deadline that we have to be out of there by 2047. That's all. I just wanted to.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Director Gibson?
Yeah. I really don't know why we're discussing this, because that's really a job for the general manager, and we're hoping to have a general manager soon, and that's what we're paying him the big bucks for. Is water planning, water management, and all of the things that you're talking about here. That's his job. And so I think we should be waiting for that person because, you know, and unless you have a specific plan, what's the point of having a discussion with Arroyo Grande Grover or anyone? And the OCSD cannot come up with a plan. You know, that's not what we do. So I think this is just talk, and we should wait. I mean, you know, part of this with the general manager is respecting his responsibilities, and I think us like trying to plan something and then telling what we're planning, it's just not efficient, and or it's not conducive to a good relationship.
Any other comments from directors? Well, thank you for your comments. My response is that it is important for the Oceano Community Services District to be forward-looking and knowledgeable about what's going on with water in the region. I think that our interim general manager was, you know, very clear on, you know, bringing that to the forefront and educating us in terms of the kinds of issues that are out there that need to be addressed so that we can have a protected and sustainable groundwater yield that will go that will provide us with some resilience as we, you know, head into even more extreme weather and climate change with drier dries and wetter wets. And that calls for much planning and much collaboration. And these things we know take a long time. So, you know, I'm not thinking like, okay, we need to have something figured out in 6 months. It sounds like it would be of great service and support to the sanitation district, since their first 10-year report is coming up, to be able to say that, you know, beginning in 2024, 25, we began to put together a working group made up of the major municipal, of all the municipal purveyors in South County, to begin thinking about and planning for a, you know, meeting the goal of having a new state-of-the-art treatment plant that will be good for the next 100 years. That will include massive water recycling, because that will absolutely be required of new treatment plants. And Oceano is a, we're small, but we're an important player. We all know that we have a robust water portfolio. We have water to share, and we know that there are issues that have to be resolved in terms of how the basin is managed, and that's going to take time, and it's going to take cooperation, and it's going to take a lot of you know, high touch kind of communications with folks. And I think just the more that we begin thinking about that and getting a clearer picture of what that's going to entail, it will serve all of us. And in this case, I think I would hope that the sanitation district would be, I think certainly, I mean, it is the South County, you know, sanitation district. It is the lead agency for these major wastewater treatment, wastewater recycling. So they will certainly be a very important player and leader in it. But, you know, well, everybody needs to be involved.
It's good, and you know, right now, oh, go ahead.
And a general manager looks to the directors for direction in terms of their priorities. And if our directors feel that this is important, that this process, you know, have a soft start, but gets going, and we direct our general manager to make that part of his or her, you know, workload, and, you know, give us their feedback on it and what are their opinions, that we're all, you know, working together on it.
May I respond? Well, I think you're making too many assumptions. For one, you don't know that Arroyo and Grover are going to agree. And number two, you don't know what's going on in closed session. You know, things may be being discussed. We don't know. And so I think you're just presuming too much.
And I'm not presuming anything. I say it's time for people to get together and begin discussions about it.
Well, but what are you going to discuss?
The issues related to needing to relocate a sewage treatment plant in the long run, doing wastewater recycling, addressing outdated policies and laws around being able to sell or wheel water. There's Mr. Ogren laid out a whole list of issues that need to be addressed, some in the short term, some in the long term. Why would we not want to be active and involved and informed about it?
Well, I think it's on the top of everyone's mind right now, and all the agencies, and I think there'll be a time when it'll all, you know, come forward, so I don't think we need to waste any more time or spend any more time.
Yeah.
I think we thank you for all your, yeah, you know. I don't know, what do you mean by outdated water? Are you saying that the vote to sell water permanently is something you want to look at again?
Well, in order for the OCSD to permanently sell state water to another agency, we would have to have the approval of the voters. And no, I'm not proposing that. I mean,
okay.
we do.
I just didn't know because that ordinance is. I don't think that would ever. We'd never sell permanent.
Yeah.
So I
wouldn't
want,
even bring it up.
What?
Don't bring up permanent sale of water because the community will not go for that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with temporary sales of water.
Yeah.
We're happy to help out our neighbors, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting on board with permanent sales, I don't think that would be met with much support.
Well, there are lots of options and lots of opinions, and unfortunately,
well,
we have a better factual base now with all the work that was done for CCB.
Well, that's what I was going to say, that with that CCB has brought everything to the forefront, it's a good time.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's, if there's no more comments, I will we'll take public comment on Item 9A, any public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment, and thank you for your comments, everybody. We'll move to item 9B, which is approval and authorization to submit application to Ecologistics to act as a 501c3 sponsor of the district and Oceano Parks and Recreation Committee. Just by way of background, we've discussed this a number of times over a period of months. We've looked at three options. We've concluded that Ecologistics is the best one for the district at this time. As Director Sunnison mentioned in her comments, the OPARC met on
Tuesday
and unanimously approved recommending to the board of directors that they accept and authorize the district to enter into a contract with Ecologistics, subject to review and form approval by the district council.
So, and the first step though is really just the application, approving the application to be sent in, because that's the first step. We haven't been approved by
Ecologistics.
Ecologistics.
So
you're approving it.
Yeah.
To send in the application, and their board will review that application and decide whether they want to enter into a contract with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I learned that from Stacy Hunt, who's with that company. And then I also spoke with their attorney who's in New York, but spoke with him about it and the contract and just some amendments that are necessary to it. And, you know, one of the biggest issues I had was, you know, what happens if you raise $150,000 and you don't use it all for the track, what happens? And we're going to have the agreement so that we would be able to use that for other OPARC projects if there was any left over. So that was a good, you know, for me to make certain it didn't have to be for a specific project and no other. So yeah, once the application is accepted, then we'll get the contract done and it would be up and running.
So we'll open this up for comments from directors. Yes, Director Gibson.
So I'd like to discuss two sentences that, let's see, the first one is page 102, number 8. And it talks about purpose.
Page 102 of the agenda?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it says purpose. So the last sentence, so the beginning you're talking about, you know, this is to, you know, fundraising for the walking jogging track at Oceano Elementary. But the last sentence talks about the public plaza. So I think that's confusing to what you're really doing. It doesn't have anything to do. I mean, you're pointing out that, you know, you have other activities, but I think for the application, that doesn't need to be in there.
Just sorry, I'm not seeing.
Here it's 8, purpose. The purpose.
Number 8.
Walking, jogging track. And then this is a whole separate subject. Community celebratory events in the new 2 million public plaza will be administered. So that's a whole separate thing. That should even be in this. That's what I see.
Yeah, it kind of muddies up what the purpose.
So
that shouldn't be in that same. It should be in a separate.
I think that the
because that's another whole. If you're going to manage the plaza, then that's another whole system of
Well,
bookwork at OCSD to set that up. How that works,
right?
And it's also important that we understand that OPARC is a commission. It's an advisory commission. It has no ability to enter into contracts or use funds, and so what I was worried about that statement, you know, it kind of seems like administered at times and sponsored by OPARC. They don't have the ability to use these funds without the board. They can't decide on their own what these funds are going to be used for. It would have to come to the board of directors. They're not the grant. They don't get the grants. They can't apply for grants. OPARC can't do any of that. They're just an advisory board for this and can make recommendations to do things.
So in other words, the board would be...
Yeah, I mean, we've been around that block about 28 times here.
It seems like it comes up quite a bit that I hear, you know, that OPARC is getting a grant. They're not getting a grant.
The district gets a grant. Right.
So, and this seems to say that they are administering and at times sponsored by. I wasn't sure who was administering it, but OPARC is not administering any grants or any of the funds that are raised.
And why bring up the public plaza when this is strictly about running track?
It's a whole separate agenda item.
I think that this question was about kind of like in general, what are some of the things that you're doing? And this is not, this fiscal sponsorship is not being entered into solely for raising funds for a track.
My understanding was it would at least be for capital projects and not for just, you know, events and stuff within the community.
I don't know where you got that understanding. I mean, this is for the, we'll
have to make certain that that's available for the general public to know it could be used for anything and not capital projects. Just to make certain that whoever the donor knows that it can be used for pretty much any type of event or anything that's done within the district.
Well, and you
no,
can't...
No, not
well,
any
events.
Any
events.
It's what goes with the mission of Parks and Recreation. And as you clearly pointed out, and as I think everybody understands, OPARC does not make that decision.
Right.
We have to have it approved by the board of directors. And everything that we have done has been approved by the board of directors and will continue to be approved by the board of directors.
So we'll put inside the agreement when we're doing it, if that's the board's direction, and then the flyers and everything would be, it can also be used for community celebratory events, just like you say. I was not aware that was also, I assumed it would be used for capital projects as this track and or for... You were talking about pathways to get from one part of the town to another or bike or whatever, but not for community celebratory events. But we can put that in there. But as long as it's got to be clear when people are donating that they know that it's not just for capital projects.
Yeah, and I didn't know that you were including the public plaza in your wish list.
This grant, the track project is not connected to the public plaza, but the county has approached us about And we talked early on about OCSD being the administrator of events in the plaza, and that we would be the agency that people made application to for, you know, using the plaza, having events at the plaza, and
just as long as that's clear, we'll make sure it's clear.
Well, I think it was administered and sponsored by OPARC. It should say OCSD, then, I guess, through OPARC direction or something.
Yeah, would
most donors want to see a physical item built with their funds that are donated. But certainly, yes, you could. We'll put that language in there if the board wants into the agreement and into the, you know, brochure, which is going to be given to people and said to people of what these funds can be used for if you donate them. So nothing that says you can't do that. It was just my assumption was it was going to be used for a physical capital project.
Yeah, well, I'm not comfortable with that, what you're saying, because when we're out fundraising for the track, that money that's donated for the track is going to be going to the track.
So what happens if the money then is left over? You're going to give it back to them?
I don't know.
So then if people are, you're going out to raise money for the track, then you say it's for the track and it'll be for that specific purpose. The reason why I contacted the New York attorney because I wanted to make that language more broad, and that was going to include other capital projects such as, and we can name some. You're saying now to increase it even further to it can also be used for community events. And you have to, the donor has to be able to know what their funds are going to be used for. You can't say it's going to be used for the track and then 2 years later be using it for a community event unless they know that up front.
And we're not certain that the county is going to do that. Who knows what they're going to do? You know, I mean, they said that once, but until they do it, it's not a done deal.
So it's the language here. I would just change it to say, you know, after Oceana Mentor School work or other community celebratory events. And boom, you're done there. You don't need to put in the 2000 or that it's going to be administered by OPARC. And now you're covered.
Well, about a year ago, we're trying to get, we're going to put together a summer soccer program for kids. And, you know, OPARC was going to be sponsoring that with permission of the board of directors and, you know, providing youth recreation activities in the summertime.
That's okay to use that as long as it spells that out. You can't have a donor thinking it's going to be for the track and dislike soccer and finds out you spent
maybe there'd be a little thing that
well,
just
well,
says.
Well, how definitive do, I mean, do we
no,
have
we can
to
use
have a
that.
List
we can
of
other community programs, just what you said,
okay,
other community right. events
okay.
and programs.
Okay, all right.
Recreation programs.
Say any overage.
And it'll say it can't be used for operational, it can't be used to pay salaries.
Right.
You know, and
so you, in other words, something real general that covers everything.
Exactly. My
okay,
mission,
good.
That's why
okay.
I'm glad we're having this conversation. My initial was, is no, it was going to be more restricted to capital projects. So we'll even it open up further to cover pretty much anything that's related to Rec and Park.
That the board approves of.
Yeah, of course, yes.
Right.
Yes, you'd start to approve the funding of it. But it's
so,
more of the donor's expectations of where that money is going to be used.
So do you want to parse the wordsmith this application to express that? Does the application need to be modified?
Yes.
Yes, just the purpose, and we can just expand it to include community celebratory events or other programs as designated by OPARC and the Board of Directors.
And leave out the $2 million
yeah.
public plaza. Okay.
Okay.
That will work. Okay, and then I have another one on page 103 and qualifications number 16. Is everybody in the right place?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's the second sentence. OCSD and Lucia Marr have each overseen numerous multi-million $1 million capital improvement projects. And the OES track program is a very small and simple one. Well, to me, that implies that we're overseeing the track, which we are not. And so I think that needs to be changed to, you know, the district provides the funding money, but then we're done. We don't oversee anything. I think there needs to be a separation. And, you know, state that. Funds only, and then at that point, Lucia Marr takes over all the responsibilities and liabilities.
I think what you're saying that I think what this is trying to say is that OCSD and Lucia Marr are qualified to oversee this because it's small, because they've done all these bigger projects. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Basically, this question is, I don't think basically it says, like, well, what experience do you have in you know, doing projects like this.
Okay.
And so I was presenting both for OCSD and the school district that, you know, between the two of us, we have a lot of experience, and we've also collaborated together most recently on the big water recharge project.
Somebody reading this could think that we're overseeing the project, and we're not. So I think that needs to be a lot clearer.
But are we?
Okay.
We can
add a line in there that, Lucia Marr School District is going to be the lead contracting agency.
OCSD has worked with them on projects before, like stuff like that. Yeah. Maybe just, you know.
And I think clarification of that OCSD is providing the funding, and that's it.
I mean, the language could be as simple as we will be providing that, OCSD will be providing the fundraising opportunity, and the school district will be the contracting agency, and we will provide the funding mechanism.
Operations and maintenance and insurance, everything. I mean, it becomes part of the school's infrastructure.
Right.
A couple of little changes we can get to where your concerns are and be done with it.
Okay, that's it for me.
Okay.
Okay, well then we'll be looking for a motion to approve application as modified.
So moved.
Public comment. Seeing none, then we'll...
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Director Gibson.
I second it.
And seconded by Director Sunnison.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Bernie?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Moving on to business item C has been pulled. We have no hearing items. And do we have any public comment on? No, we have no public comment on hearing items. So next is receive written communications. I believe we have a copy of one from Ms. Hicks. Which was in reference to item 9C, late received written communications. We have none. Future agenda items. I think there's something that you had, Mr. Schultz, you want to?
We still have the ordinance. We've got quite a few things. It just depends on how much we can get done before the next meeting, but we have the ordinance and regarding the appeal process. We have the resolution regarding Central Coast Blue that still has to come back. And
I got it. Yes. I have one, Cool Earth, the proposals for the fiscal year 2024-2025 for their Earth Genius program, a second proposal by them for to fulfill our education requirement for the Stormwater Prop 1 funds we received. So that'll be one item. A second will be the review of the ISMND for our water resource reliability program. It'll be a comment period for the board and the public to give questions so RINCON, our consultant, can respond to them. That's two. And then I have, I'm scheduling Oceano Finance and Budget Committee for May 23rd, so that whole agenda item will be posted next Friday as well, which will include the budget workshop and the third budget review.
Okay. So tell us you're busy without telling us.
I'm not tired.
I have a question, a clarification on future agenda items. I didn't see where on business items where A, you know, the role of OCSD on regional water management, and also the media relations policy, why that wasn't on, you know, on future agendas from the last meeting. I don't think it was.
They came, at least as to see the media policy, which I did the report on, that came after a talk with the president and the need for that media policy, so that's how that did, but it didn't get on a future agenda item first. And as to the first one, I'm assuming it's the same thing. He exercised his ability to put something on the agenda. I don't know what our policy even says regarding each and every one of these agenda items, if we have that, and what the policy is on future agenda items. So it's something that I need to see exactly what it says, because I've been working on a policy for all council procedures.
Right.
It's too many pages right now, so I'm trying to see if I can cut some of it out, but you really should have a policy on exactly how items get on the agenda.
Well, I know President Barney has the right to do that, but I also think it's important as a courtesy to the general manager that things, you know, get... As a courtesy to the general manager that things come, you know, during the prior meeting, because, you know, if he's halfway through the next agenda, what's he going to do when, you know what, you want to put X and X on there? You don't know his time constraints. So it seems like that those should be brought up at the prior meeting and as to be open and transparent to the board and the public, so that they know that the next meeting we're going to discuss X, Y, and Z. So I think that's just, I think that's what we used to do all the time, so.
That's true, yeah.
I'll work with Carrie to see what our policy, if we do have one, says regarding future agenda items. If not, we can.
We went through that in terms of changing the bylaws, and it's very straightforward. Two directors can put something on the agenda in a meeting. Like right now, if Director Gibson wants to put something on the agenda, she can do that, and if Director Sunderson wants to second that, then it's on the agenda. The president has authority to put items on the agenda unilaterally. I think that we all know that none of us have the crystal ball to, you know, anticipate what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks, such that we have. I think that Director Gibson's suggestion that we limit ourselves for items on the May 22nd. Agenda have to be stated tonight is that's just not tenable, because items will come up between now and then, and they have to, you know, if the timing's okay, then they need to be put on the agenda.
So it's not an agenda item for tonight, the future agenda items and how we handle it, but yes, we'll bring it back to you as what our current policy is, any recommendations I have, and if nothing happens, then we'll just live by that policy. But we can bring it back and take a look at it, because it is, it's a difficult one, and I think I've explained my policy that I really like, is even if it's two members that want to put something on, you really then are not using staff time because there's not a majority that wants you to work on that, and that's great. You can bring it forward, but you're bringing it forward only for informational purposes and to direct it to staff so they can then analyze that issue and bring it back. But that's the way, best policy I've seen, because it allows you, in fact, it allows even one person to put something on the agenda as long as they're willing to provide the informational information. And at that meeting, though, the only thing that can be done then is a majority to say, okay, we like your proposal, we like what you're doing, and authorize staff then to bring a report back that analyzes that issue. So it accommodates both without bringing something forward that doesn't have enough information or doesn't, you know, or they make the wrong decision without staff input. Yeah. But we'll put it on a future agenda to look at the future agenda.
If I can respond... Then you're saying at any point, if something comes up, you put it on the agenda. But I'd like to hear you explain what was an emergency with A and C. I mean, those could have gone on the future agenda tonight, and then when we at the next meeting, we could have discussed it. I mean, I don't think that the presidential right to put something on the agenda should be, you know, every weekly thing.
So again, it's not on the agenda to discuss this policy and get into deliberations on it. We'll put it on what our current policy exactly states and whether there should be any changes to that to clarify.
Okay.
And we're in a little different position right now because we don't have a general manager. So the president doesn't have that person to talk to about when's the best time to put this in. He talked to me about it. And I said, yep, I can get done with a media policy, and got it done, and it was on the agenda. And
okay, what if you have a really booked agenda already?
Well, that's what the GM would talk to him about with the president. Usually that interaction occurs, and it's usually the policy states that it's in conjunction with. The president can't just put items on that the general manager doesn't. So we can delve into this policy, look at it. I can provide you many examples. You're not the only organization that has trouble with this issue. It's always around, and I've got some great examples that can strengthen the ability so everybody knows what they're doing.
Okay, but C says discussion and adoption of media relations policy. I mean, so we were going to, you know.
Yeah, it's so. When that comes back, yes, I will be asking for an adoption of that media relations policy.
But if that had gone on tonight, we were going to adopt something?
Yes, it was in your package, and it was a pretty standard media relations policy. Yes, you would have been expecting it.
You know, I'm concerned, Director Gibson, that you, the first year I was on this board, every meeting, I got an agenda that had items on it that I had no idea about because they were put on there by the general manager. And
Right. There
was no transparency, and I heard no complaints from you about that. And now these items, which actually the, you know, talking about water management has been on this agenda a number of times.
Okay, right. This is not an agenda item again. We'll put it as an agenda item for future agenda items.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Well, we trusted the general manager, and that's what we paid him for.
We're done with this, Director Gibson. Thank you. So are there future hearing items? We have a report out on closed session.
We already reported out, and there could potentially be a closed session next week, midweek, again on the appointment of the general manager.
Okay. Then the meeting is adjourned.